know how when you go to like Taco Bell,
okay,
and you ask for a, you know, crispy or a soft taco. Halloween 2018 is the shell.
Welcome back, kiddies, to another fantastic October episode of Bitch, I Ain't Scared. I am, of course, Nate the Fool, foolish and full of, I don't know, secrets because my hair is so big. And I'm here with my lovely co-host. How are you doing, Rob?
Very good. Rob the Scholar here, still vulnerable and sensitive for your pleasure.
Oh, your pleasure. It's like a Trojan condom ad or something. All righty. So, have you done anything fun this month at all?
October's been pretty chill. I mean, we had a wonderful thunderstorm here in LA not too long ago. That was very eventful.
Yeah, that's true.
But otherwise, I went to Vegas.
Oh.
A little small trip. It's not really horror-esque, but to answer your question, it was really like a little bit over 24 hours. It wasn't even Vegas-like. There was an event there. We lit some lanterns and whisked them up in the air for everyone to see. So that was cool. But if I'm going to make this any horror-esque, I came back with the driest circles around my eyes. It is disgusting, and I look like a monster. It's humidity, I'm assuming, is what did this to me. But as soon as I hit that border, like, my eyes just start cracking, and it's just like, ah, it's really gross. So Nate is trying to peep these eyes out, but I'm in the dark right now because I don't want nobody to see me. I'm hideous.
All right. Well, I thought this was going to go in like a Tangled direction, you know, Rapunzel.
It was very Tangled, for sure. It was a nice event. I've never done it before. I actually wasn't even supposed to go, but one of the ticket holders got sick while there, so I just took her ticket and managed to experience the fun. So that was that. I visited an alien jerky souvenir store along the way. That was pretty cool. But yeah.
All right.
Other than that, like, I've been trying to sneak in all of this spooky stuff, you know, as far as like TV and movie watching, and it's just been so busy and difficult, but we still have a half a month left, and I'm gonna, it'll be a sprint to get all of it covered for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been busy. It's been hectic for sure, but just enjoying little things along the way.
All right, so Nate, it's time for trivia. I have a question for you.
Oh my God.
You ready for this?
I'm so nervous. Yes, I'm ready.
All right, there was a little movie in 1992 called Army of Darkness. But can you tell me originally what that movie was going to be called?
maybe yes.
Well, we will find out what Nate thinks about that at the end of the episode. That is today's trivia question, and of course this question has been posted on the apps, so if we get an answer, the shout out will also come at the end of the episode. I don't even know the answer to this question, so it'll be really interesting to know. I thought Army of Darkness was it, so we'll see. So, I came across this post on Instagram. Actually, it was sent to me, so I don't want to discredit who sent it to me, but it's from the Instagram page, We Don't Want to Grow Up. It's another podcast that focuses on 80s, 90s, and early 2000s pop culture, and just the page is just such a smorgasbord of reminders of anybody who lived and appreciates that era, with constant ads, commercials, photos, etc., of all the things that we grew up with and we just can't let go. Well, they posted a very interesting challenge The post says something to sink your teeth in. So it's vampire themed. And it's a list of 12 movie posts or 12 posters featuring either a movie or TV show featuring vampires. And on the top, it says you can only keep 4 out of 12. Which ones are you keeping? Now, I'm going to tell you the list. And let me just say that this list was so difficult to choose just 4. It was so difficult. But I know, Nate, you don't favor vampire movies as much as you do werewolves. So there's that. But you could appreciate this post. Or yeah, was it easy for you?
No, it wasn't easy. No,
it wasn't easy. So listen to this. Okay, so here, and you know, to some it may be, but for me, I had a hard time. Once Bitten, Jim Carrey, Twilight, Vampire in Brooklyn, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie, and the series, those are two different choices, True Blood, the series, Vampire Diaries, the series, Dracula, Bram Stoker's, Fright Night, the original, Blade, with Wesley Snipes, the movie, Interview with the Vampire, Tom Cruise, and The Lost Boys. Now, for me, I've seen all of them. And I honestly had such a hard time. Well, actually, there were like two of them that was spot on, like, no question. But it was picking the other two that was super hard for me. Nate, if you can remember, what were your choices?
I don't even think I finalized choices because it was that hard. And like you said, I don't love vampire movies now, but that list is basically compiled of mostly all the classics, all
exactly
the movies that I would love to watch. And I think, yeah, I've seen 90% of those options.
So take us through your journey. How did you come up with each choice and why?
Well, okay. So, and then I had to sort of like look at it very separate. Like everything is separate. Doesn't matter, because I was a little worried. Of course, I picked Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV series. I did, and I was like, oh, well, do I have to pick the movie? Because, you know, the movie came first, and the TV show wouldn't exist if the movie hadn't been a big flop.
You
and
have
blah, blah, blah.
No responsibility to be shown anybody right. respect. This is your choice.
So, I was like, nah.
So why did Buffy get a sure vote for you, like, right away?
It's just, you know, it's a classic. I mean, that was part of growing up. That was a show that I enjoyed through puberty. And, you know, it was just different. It was campy and funny, but it was also scary. And it was just a long journey of, you know, watching her and like die twice. And I don't know. I love that show. I can still go back and appreciate that show now. And I remember going like into college and watching season 4, and I was like, wow, this really can apply to my life. Like evil roommate trying to suck my soul out. Yeah, this is like absolutely applies to world situations. But yeah, that was just, I love the show. It'll always hold a place dear in my heart. The others are difficult. I would say probably I'd go with Bram Stoker's Dracula from 1992.
Okay, where did that come from?
I just love that movie. You know, it's kind of inappropriate. I mean, I saw that movie, I think, when I was a child. And I was really, really young. Definitely too young to be watching. But I watched it, you know. And I don't know, I think maybe other people find it to be boring, but I think it's a beautiful movie. It's one of those like aesthetically pleasing films that I can appreciate the costume design. It's so intricate. And, you know, the makeup effects, you know, that was like early on where they were like, everything was still like practical effects for the most part. They weren't using a whole lot of visual effects yet, but I don't know. It's, you know, it's a sad love story, a tragic love story. Always love those.
You know, I can still remember the theater in Washington that I went to when this movie came out. and the theater was a part of a mall. So it was right near the entrance, to be honest. And I remember that line going outside.
Really?
Like, the line was so long to see this movie. It was insane. I've never, it's one of those experiences where you're just like, I have no idea what this is. And it's in, and just everyone wants to see this movie. I mean, it was crazy back then, the fandom.
That's good to hear, though. And I think it was sort of, it was supposed to be the start of something, you know, like they were like, oh, we're going to do all these Universal movies. Because then after that, they did Frankenstein, and I guess it didn't do very well. But yeah, I like that one. And even though it's sort of in the same vein, I would probably pick Interview with the Vampire. I like these sad vampires. I don't know what my problem is. Yeah, it's another one. Again, it's like the costume design and the story, the writing. You know, I like all those books as well. So I think it's a good, pretty good adaptation. But now it's like that fourth choice. I probably get a lot of flack for this, but I'm tempted to pick. And it's not because I think they're brilliant films, but I'm tempted to pick Twilight.
Awesome.
Only because that's cool. I have very fond memories of going to see those movies. You know, I didn't really know anything about the movies. I didn't read the books when they came out. And it was like a sort of like a random thing where it's like, oh, it was like a first date going to see Twilight. And I think just being like getting caught up in all the emotion, all the teen angst of that movie and being like, oh, this is so romantic. So like every year that movie came out, it was like an event, like, oh, gotta go see it. So I guess, you know what? I'm going to go with Twilight, and everyone can talk shit about me, but you know, it was as a big part shouldn't. Of my,
I dare you. But here's what's crazy with that, because Twilight is the only choice on here that has a franchise, right? Mm. And so for me, if you know, choosing that, I think for me, this post meant the first one and not the sequels. And oh. I favor the sequels more than the original, which is why Twilight was not a choice for me. True. But you can view this however you want. I just saw that was the only difference. So I only looked at it as, you know, as a standalone.
Yeah. And Blade had a trilogy.
You're right. It did have a trilogy. You're totally correct. So my bad. Yes. That one also had more to it. So, but I always looked at it as a standalone.
I even think about that. It's like, I love the second Blade movie. The first one, it was all right. I wasn't super sold on it, but yeah.
So, for me, I went completely in a different direction than you did. And I don't care. So the first two choices right off the bat, no question, easy picks for me is Fright Night and Lost Boys. Hands down,
right.
Two of the best vampire movies, in my opinion, in the entire universe. I feel so much love for these two movies because of how untraditional and unique both movies are. And not to say that the other movies aren't, you know, written well or grounded or anything like that, but I just think they're closer to a realistic home. You know, Fright Night is literally a man next door killing prostitutes because he needs to feed. Anybody next door could be a fucking psycho killer, whatever you want to call it. This one just so happens to be a vampire. It's just so grounded. And the Lost Boys, like the 80s, the angst, the rock, like all of that, like the soundtrack of that movie alone is just insane. The hotness in this movie, insane. I love the title because it's very fitting to the Lost Boys and Neverland versus vampires who do not grow old. I just love these two movies to death so much. But it was the other two choices that I was kind of, it was hard for me to pick the next two. And my choices were Once Bitten, Buffy the TV show, and Blade.
Yeah.
Everything else I'm okay on. They're good for what they were, but if I can only pick four, those are the three remaining that I would repeatedly go back to any given day without hesitation. Once Bitten is basically because of Jim Carrey. I was such, and I am still, a really, really big fan of his. Mm. And it's the gay butler for me, or I should say the flamboyant butler for me. I love his character. I love that he was in this movie in the time that he was, and he will forever just be a staple in me growing up. So Once Bitten is just one of those fun movies that I, one, relate to, and it's just a lot of fun. It's just a fun film. And Buffy, like you said, Nate, right? And Blade, like, how do you not? I mean, he's a superhero. He's right. An anti-hero. He's a misunderstood right. hero. Like, so, so good. But I actually ended up choosing Once Bitten and Blade. I left out the series. And here's the thing. I grew up with the series just like you. Right. And I love Buffy so much. It definitely has replay value. And I, you know, would watch it any given day. But these movies to me are just way too close for me to give up. That, yeah. So I went with those four choices. And just to give a little context, so the post or the person from this podcast wrote that he chose Once Bitten, Lost Boys, True Blood, and Buffy the Movie.
Okay.
With right. Vampire Diaries as an honorable mention. And Twilight, yeah. He goes, God, this is so hard. And then he says, if you're unhappy with these selections, I apologize, which he shouldn't, or no. She. And I didn't forget anything. I just didn't have enough room for everything. Yeah, you know, the post or whatever. And so he says, I'm sorry if you don't agree with what I picked. It's, you know, I mean, this is a different subject, but I just find it so funny that we just come to a place to where we are ashamed of our own taste. Like,
right, yeah.
We watch these things on our own, and it's like, why are you concerned with everybody else's happiness, at least in this specific category? It's like, watch the shit that makes you happy, dude. Right. And like, I like Twilight too, you know, so whatever. But
yeah,
that was a hard post.
It was. And you pointing out, it's like me, like I start to zone in on my choices, but then you're like Lost Boys and Fright Night. And I was like, you know, I completely forgot about them for a moment because I'm talking about my shit. But I was like, no. Yeah, Lost Boys and Fright Night, those are part of a moment.
Yes.
And like they are brilliant vampire films. Like it's like if I'm being honest, it's like those sort of are definitive vampire films
definitive.
Where I'm like
definitive. And I can't even choose between the two. I still can't today.
Like I can actually enjoy Lost Boys and not be like, I'm watching a stupid vampire movie. But, you know, it's like, I didn't think about it for my choices. I went in a very depressing love route. I don't know what my problem is.
It's all
but yeah,
good.
That was, it was hard. And don't ever ask me to do that with witch movies. Don't you ever fucking
right,
ask
me. Right. We may have to challenge ourselves. That'll be an interesting list.
I'll be so sad.
Yeah.
Getting down to these good weekly shit. I'm sure most of you like
at least 7.5 million of you.
Oh
yeah.
Statistics. All right.
It broke. Mm. Well, I don't know if it broke wreck, but man.
But that's
killed it.
Okay. So y'all have been out there watching trailers. Good for you. This week. We got the release of the highly, highly, clearly, highly anticipated Scream, the fifth film in the franchise that will be coming out January 14th. Wait.
22nd, yeah. I believe. Oop. Or, I no, you could be right. No, I think no, it is 14th. Yeah. Because I have 22nd. Yeah. It's 2022. 20,
exactly. Yes, that's 14. And I did the same thing. You know what? we know dates. It's fine. But yes. And, Rob, did you catch the trailer? Did you happen to tune in?
I did tune in. And just like Halloween, I only watched the first teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't necessarily get a plot in this. We just know that there is a killer on the loose and Sydney and the rest of the original gang feel the need that they are involved and must be a part of the destruction of this new ghost face. I don't know if you want details Nate, because I know that you've chosen not to watch it. So I don't know how much you want to hear.
You know, it's such a fine line on the edge of a knife, honestly. See what I did there? And yeah, so I didn't watch the trailer. And I've been, I've been seeing a lot of screen caps. I've been seeing a lot of promotional images. I love the stuff of Ghostface. It's so exciting. But I do not like seeing pictures of Ghostface with the cast because I'm like, this is a spoiler for me.
It is.
Okay?
I'm not going to tell you what I saw in the trailer, but I'll tell you what I got from it. So Everyone looks great.
Yeah.
And there were a confirm of 3 kills that I picked up without actually analyzing the trailer. I picked up on at least 3 of the cast. I'm pissed off about one of them already.
Yeah.
There was a little known fact in there that was thrown in. And that has me more curious about this movie more than anything that I saw in this trailer. I don't know if you want to know about it or not. I can keep my mouth shut.
Man, I mean, I want the listeners to know, I guess. So,
well, it might even be like the smallest moot point. It may not even mean nothing, but to me, it stood out, this phrase, and I was like, "Ooh, I wonder how far they're gonna take that." So it's up to you. I won't say anything if you don't want to. They can watch the trailer.
Do it. Let's get into this.
Okay, so once the shit hits the fan and everybody is aware that Ghostface is after these specific group of people, one of them says that the first set of victims so far were related to the original killers.
Okay.
I have no idea what that means. I don't know if everybody sitting in that room who was listening is related to the killers. Are they only referring to the first killers or all the killers combined? It just has my mind spinning.
Interesting.
But, we definitely were spoiled on the initial kill. At least that's what it looks like.
Look, I saw a picture.
I'm not confirming or denying anything.
No. And I'm not even going to ask, but I saw a picture and I was like, well, that seems like it's probably the opening. And I'm not going to watch this trailer.
I honestly wouldn't. And you know, you're sold. But the tone that I got from this seems very fun.
Mm-hmm.
A little darker because David Arquette Dewey, his demeanor, he's done, man. This man has gone through some shit. And we're about to get a heavy story. I'm sure the comedy will be brought in, but this trailer did not have a lot of that. They really treated this trailer very seriously, in my opinion, and there will definitely be some carnage. So I'm excited, and Sydney is, again, top-notch. She's not scared anymore. She knows what she has to do, and for some reason, their past is catching up with them again. I have some theories. Some are silly as hell. I did post one on our Twitter page that I thought was hilarious. I said, watch the killer be the family members, parentheses S, of that poor principal who died for nothing.
I saw you post that.
But there are some theories that have been circling around. I don't even want to put that in the universe right now because that's how Saw 7 got spoiled. So I am going to keep my mouth shut. But it was a nice trailer, and I think it was enough to give me incentive not to watch anymore. And a lot of people enjoy knowing what's going to happen before they watch the movie and they can still enjoy it. That's their prerogative. I'm not like that. And I'm glad that I got enough for me. Ooh, I did see one little hint to something that I'm praying to God isn't true. But if it is, Godspeed. So
see, this is honestly all I needed. I needed a trailer review, Rob. So thank you for diving in I knew from jump when they announced this movie. I was like, I'm not watching that trailer because this is not 1997 anymore. 1997, I was clueless. Like, they edited that shit so good. I didn't know Jada got killed because they did a good job making it look like she was in 2 different scenes. Nope. So but now I just can't trust. I can't trust.
Well, speaking of, as we're on the subject, you brought to my attention the possibility of a greenlit number 6 already.
Yeah.
But you were questioning if the post was real or not. And I got to say, I mean, Wes made number 4. Did he already have 2 other ones, you know, out written out by somebody? Who knows? I thought this next set was going to set a trilogy, but the 4th one to me didn't seem successful. So with that being said, do I want a number 6? I don't care. They can make up to 10 of them, but I want this to be the last movie the original folks are in. They don't need to die. I just don't want them in movies anymore. Like for Sydney and Gail and Dewey to be going through this shit a 6th time, I can't. That's too much. Move on. It's too much. I mean, here's the thing. Anybody can put on that outfit and be Ghostface. Just get another generation. Start a new origin story. They can set another 6 movies on a different story. They tried it with the series. I think Sydney needs to be put to rest. It just needs to happen. So that's me if they're going to do a number 6. Because a reason to involve her again just does not make sense unless she's the killer.
Ha! Which that wouldn't. That would just leave a bad taste in my mouth.
But I love the poster, though. On top it says something like, it's someone you already know.
Always
or something like,
somebody you know. Yeah. Yeah, I like that tagline. And I think in my mind, it probably will be the last time that Neve Campbell returns. Because the last 2 movies, they didn't have to like twist her arm, but she was like, I don't know if I want to do that. And then she got the script and she was like, yeah, okay, cool. So another 10 years go by for someone to be like, hey, we have the script, will you read it? And her to be like, oh my God, yes, I will absolutely do this a 5th time. Like David Arquette, I think he's always like pretty excited to do it. He's kind of like a given. He's like, I'm going to do it. It's always fun. I think this might be her last time. I'm not saying that I want it to be her last time, because this is kind of the only series where you have had the survivors come back every single time. And
that is true. It's very nice to have that sort of milestone, for sure.
Like, they never last this long. They never do. At least, like, by the 3rd movie, there's a new final girl, because the other one got taken out. So, especially in this kind of, like, it's a very, like, realistic slasher film. It's like, yeah, you would expect someone is going to die. Someone from the main trio is going to die. Which, and I hate to say this, I do wish one of them had been taken out in the 4th one. Only because at that point, I was like, well, the suspense is gone.
Exactly.
Yes. I'm not invested enough in these new characters to really be that surprised when they die. But the 3, it's like, you're all so invincible. I don't know how scared I am anymore. I don't want to see them die. I don't. But at the same time, I need that like reassurance that anything can happen, because that's how it was in the first 2 movies. Anything can happen to anyone. Hey, Rob. I know you've been real busy and going to Vegas and like acting like Rapunzel and shit. But what have you been watching on TV and whatnot?
Man, okay, so I think in the last episode I told you I watched the first Halloween Town film from the series. So I watched that. So with my other podcast, Movie Geek and Proud, I had to rewatch a couple of films to set up for review. And 2 of those was Tales from the Hood and Candyman, the original. So I watched those 2 lately. I also, you and I, we saw Venom, which was, you know, interesting. Naomi Harris killed it as Shriek. I thought
love her.
She did a wonderful job. Yeah. I also watched the complete first half of AHS double feature.
And
that was an interesting set of episodes, because they're shorter seasons combined with 2 different stories. I have not started the Alien half yet. But American Horror Stories, the anthology series, that was actually a lot of fun. to watch as well. I enjoyed all the great cameos and newcomers to the AHS family. So I hope they continue doing those. There are a ton of series that I would love to start. I want to finish out Creep's show. I've watched season one, but not season two yet. I watched the entirety of Squid Game, which was insane. I'm part of that fandom, and I do definitely recommend it to anyone with an interest in that type of storytelling. Again, I'm going to preach Alice in Borderland. Everyone should be watching that if they love Squid Game. But yeah, there are a ton of other shows that are definitely on my list, and I hope to watch between now and the end of the month. The list just keeps piling up, and there's just never any time. But I want to watch One of Us is Lying from Peacock, as well as The Girl in the Woods. I'm very curious about those. There's also a Sweet Home that you brought up to me around our first or second episode that I would love to check out. There's also another series. There's a couple of movies that you mentioned before. Night Books. I definitely want to watch that. Haunted Mansion, The Muppets. I'm going to try and check that out. We'll get to this a little later, but I did go to the movies the other night to watch our latest horror film. So we'll get to that later. But yeah, it's been pretty tame the first half of this month, unfortunately, but there's still a lot that I want to watch for sure.
I haven't been as busy as I'd like to be either, because I've been still moving a little bit, still trying to get settled in my apartment. But whenever I'm building a piece of furniture, I try to turn something on just to, you know, like have something make me feel like I'm participating in the season. So when I was putting my bed frame together, I watched The Fog, you know, just for funsies.
Very
the original, not the remake. And yeah, Peacock actually has been like giving me some good stuff.
Yeah, they posted a lot of great stuff this month.
Yeah, I watched Child's Play 2, just, you know, just like on and off, like doing other stuff, but I put that on. I finally watched Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
You've never seen that?
I had never seen it. No, I'd never seen it.
I thought you went to the movies to see that.
No, I was super broke that summer when it came out.
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember who I went with. Or did I go by myself? I can't remember. Okay, yeah. Real quick, which story did you like the best?
Probably The Scarecrow.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, I love all the imagery that they adapted from the original artwork. But I think that was the one. Yeah, the Scarecrow was just really creepy looking. Yeah.
The scariest one was the red basement.
I mean, she was scary, but that one didn't do it for me.
That was the scariest, but the cringiest one that had me like flipped out was the woman looking for her toe or whatever.
Oh, well, that was gross when it came, when he put it in his mouth. I was like, oh my God.
No. Yeah. Oh, that story to me was grossing me out. I turned like away so many times that was some heavy shit, but like the suspense shit for me, cause remember I told you, when you can run and hide and do whatever, and that thing and whatever is chasing you can just pop up anywhere. That stuff is like deep embedded in my head. It just hurts. It hurts. And I can't handle those moments when you cannot run away from your assailant. The shit's it's just too trippy for me. So it's very It Follows. And so that scene was heavy. All right, cool.
It was fun. But I've watched lots of stuff. I watched Sorority Row. I Know What You Did Last Summer. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. The Descent, The Grudge, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Hocus Pocus. I'm going to watch it again. But I have watched some new stuff. I managed to watch Bingo Hell and Black as Night, which are...
Now, describe these two, because I've never heard of these titles.
So these are on Prime, and they were like a double feature. It's part of the new season of Welcome to the Blumhouse. Remember that from last year? They put out the four movies. So they put out the first two. They put out the other two. I just haven't watched them yet. But Bingo Hell, they're and again, they're not like super scary, but I did enjoy these more.
It's more the unique storytelling.
Yeah, it was kind of cute. I know that sounds weird. I keep calling stuff cute and it shouldn't be cute, but it was. It was like Stranger Things meets, what's that movie? I don't know, Cocoon. Something with old people. Because that's what the movie's about. It's about, you know, the boomer generation, like these older people, like in their 60s, 70s. And they're trying to like protect their neighborhood. You know, they're like OGs. And Adriana Barraza, I don't know if you're familiar with her. I can't even think of movies she was in. She was in Babel years ago, but she's a great Mexican actress. She's the lead and she's kind of like very adamant about, we have to protect the neighborhood. We have to keep everything good and we all have to stay here. Don't be a sellout and leave and don't let these gentrifiers come in and blah, blah, you know. But I don't know, just like this group of older people like trying to like protect the neighborhood. I thought it was really cute. I don't know how else to describe it.
It's never too late to act, folks. It's never too late to get into acting. They got stories for all ages.
And I mean, I think you'll recognize some of their faces, you know, be like, oh yeah, I've seen these people around, but it was good. And then Black as Night is another vampire story, but I thought it was original enough. You know me, I'm not about the vampire life, but I thought the vampire design was unique. It was definitely a predictable story because, and if you check it out, Rob, you will definitely figure it out very quickly because of the star quality, I will say. You know, it's like, oh, that person's in this movie and they're trying to clearly hide them. Okay. But, and it's set in New Orleans and it does bring up a lot of the after effects of Hurricane Katrina, which a lot of people are like, that was 15 years ago. What are you talking about? But no, people are still feeling the effects of that all these years later. So I thought it was really interesting that they wove that into the story. And just having it set in New Orleans, I think New Orleans is always a wonderful backdrop for any horror film. And, you know, I think I recommend it if you want something new and just fun to watch. They did disappoint me towards the end. I won't spoil it, but, you know. But they have some, you know, nice LGBT representation, so that's always good. And a couple last things. I started watching Just Beyond on Disney Plus.
Oh, how is that?
It's cute. And this one, I think, can appropriately say it's cute because it's on Disney Plus. It's not, you know, it's not scary.
They said it was an anthology, but I think, are they interwoven stories just told by different perspectives? Or is it like episode that and then next set of people maybe in the same school and it just has nothing to do with the previous?
It's they're pretty separate. There's nothing connecting them so far.
Okay. But
yeah, I like it. And I think it's kind of like tackles some social issues each time.
Really?
Yeah, it's I mean it's in a more like innocent way, but you know, like just like treating girls like, oh, girls should like keep their mouths shut and just be pretty and ladylike and not care about social issues. And then I don't know, there's a whole episode about assimilation and trying to fit into the group. If you're from a different group, and I was like, this is interesting.
Is it all in the same universe, like a world with magic or a world with monsters, or do they change it up also?
I think they change it up each time because it's just like
interesting.
I've watched three episodes so far. I think there's only eight, but yeah, that third episode definitely, I was like, no, this is not in the same the same universe. They are definitely different, but I think you'll like it. It's cute.
I get a very Eerie Indiana vibe because I remember Eerie Indiana always having a great message to teach in their episodes. They always had some kind of like lesson to learn. So, but they would just go off the wall with a lot of the shit that goes down in that town. So it gives me that kind of vibes, but I did love the trailer and it does look fun. So I hope to check that out soon.
I think you'll like it. And, there's a familiar face each time, I think. Like, you'll see, like, oh, like it's mostly kids, you know, it's kids are the main characters, but the adult actors, you will see some familiar faces. I'll say that, making cameos and shit. And last but not least, I watched the first episode of I Know What You Did Last Summer on Prime.
Oh, I'm sure everyone is going to want to hear about this. So you watched that cheesy, horrible, confusing trailer.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't watch it. Okay. So now hopefully you have an understanding what the honey represented. Did it make sense? Nope. They still didn't get to that yet.
There's no honey yet. There's no honey.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. This show. Okay. So how close to the movie was this origin?
No, it's pretty different. I mean, the characters are all different. They're not using any of the characters from the movie/book.
I figured as much. I just assumed that the accident and the way that brings them together is still happening.
Yeah. It's graduation night. That's the one thing. And then there's an accident that they all band together to agree that they'll keep it a secret. Okay. And then it's a year later. So the first episode is basically setting that up, and of course it's a TV series. It's going to be kind of a slower burn, you know, but yeah. And I gotta say, I didn't hate it. Wasn't scared. Of course, there's nothing happening until a killer shows up, really. But, you saw the trailer, so you probably saw the writing on the mirror already.
Yes.
So that, I think that was like, you know, a nice little like hint to the movie, just, but that reveal, I didn't watch the trailer. I saw that picture. So I didn't exactly see it coming when it happened. I was like, oh, there it is. All right, here we go. Yeah, I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to, you know, see what's what.
And this is a drama 44-minute episode, hour episode. It's not like a 30-minute.
Yeah, it's a longer episode. I don't remember how long
and
it was.
And do we care for any of them?
Well, I did until the accident.
Okay, that's fair.
And this show also has nice, you know, LGBT representation, like more than one, I think so. So I do, of course, appreciate the gay character, Johnny. Love him. He's probably the most empathetic out of all of them. But when shit hits the fan, they all obviously agree to hide a body. And I think maybe in that moment, and I remember you saying like, oh, these kids are terrible. And it's like, they are kind of terrible because they're all rich.
Yes, that's the vibe.
Most of them are rich. So it's like, that's where they're coming from. And, you know, of course they're all like scared and freaking out and crying when the accident happens. But when they're like, I don't know. I was like, I feel like maybe there should be a little more emotion here. And I don't want to like give it away if you're going to watch it, but
no, yeah, don't give it away. I will check it out. I just have low expectations at the moment. So,
mm-hmm. But you know, I don't know. I think it could be fun anyway. And I like seeing Brienne Ju. I think that's how you say her name. She's like got a little horror resume now. She was in the first season of Scream, the TV series. She was Riley Mara. She was like the second person to get killed off. Poor thing.
The one with the podcast, right? Or not the podcast. I know who you're talking about. And she was crushing on some
guy.
Dude. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, I remember her. And then
thing.
She was on Light as a Feather.
Ooh, now I haven't seen. So that and like Cruel Summer are two shows on Hulu that I just haven't gotten to yet. And I want to watch them. But yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, I've been busier than I thought.
Very good. Yeah, no, you've done a lot more than me. You know, I come to these traditions sometimes that I watch. You know, I still need to watch Cabin in the Woods. I will be watching Ernest Scared Stupid sometime soon because I always watch that every year. And also Hocus Pocus for sure. I may be doing sort of a marathon thing going on Halloween weekend because I'm not going out. So I think that's where all of the binging will be taking place. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But that's cool. No, I thank you for giving that, because if you had told me it was garbage, I honestly would not turn it on. I have no qualms about skipping this show, but I do want to check it out. And I hate that it's the title that's making me want to watch it, because
yeah.
Granted, there is an accident, and that is something what's similar to the old version, but there's more to it than just the premise. There's the tone. There's the friendship. There's this need to figure out what's going on. And then there's the smarts of this killer who just manages to get away with pulling off so much crap and just teasing them until the day of the anniversary comes. All of that is what's embedded in I Know What You Did Last Summer. And if we're not going to get any of that, don't call it that. Call it something else and just start your own shit. So there are more things than an accident than what I'm looking for. And a lot of people just forget that when they want to use titles like that, you know?
Well, and they, you know, there's some stuff that happens.
That's just stuff that I'll have to look forward to.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say there's one thing about the new storyline that I kind of, I don't know. I figured it out quickly.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I just figured it out quickly. And then as the episode progressed, I was like, ah, yes, I see where we're going here. It's not like I figured out who the killer is or anything, because they haven't hinted at that, period.
Yeah. But
yeah. So, yeah, let me know what you think. Speaking of being busy, I did manage to see two movies in the theater last week.
So mad I did not get to join you on these, but yes, I'm excited to hear about them.
And honestly, I needed you for one of them. I really did, because, man, I don't know how I made it. Let me just say, this wasn't a bad movie, but it wasn't what I was looking for. I got the opportunity to see Lamb, and for a little like backstory, I work overnight at the moment. That's what I do for work. So I get home super early in the morning, and I try not to sleep through the whole day because it makes me mad when I miss all the sunlight. But I went and saw a slightly early show of the movie Lamb, like lamb chops. Just came out, and it's starring Noomi Rapace. I don't know how to say her name.
I know who you're talking about.
But yes, you know, she's very famous, like Icelandic actress, you know, from the, what was it? The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That was her first big thing. She and her husband, they live out in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in Iceland. I didn't know this was going to be a foreign language film either, because I saw that little trailer. There's nothing, no spoken word.
It's full on subtitled?
Full on subtitled.
Interesting. Yes. That I didn't know, and I'm sure others will be happy to know that to make their decision. Yeah. Good to know.
And like, if you were familiar with the husband as an actor, you would be like, oh, they're both from the same part of the world. They're probably going to be speaking the same language. And I for some reason, my silly brain was like, oh, okay, she's in the movie, but it's going to be in English. It's not. So anyway, they are farmers. They have a lot of land where they grow crops, and they have, of course, a lamb farm, sheep farm. I don't know. They have, you know, a lot of little lambs, and something strange happens. I don't know how much you got from the trailer, because I
didn't get anything. Really, to me, it was Vivage Part 2, to be honest. That lamb was getting revenge. Like, don't be screaming in my face, bitch.
Well, no, it's not quite.
I'll buy you that little girl.
Yeah, no, this is like kind of a creature feature, kind of. And it starts off sort of like, maybe this is going to be promising, but then it's a very, very slow burn of what's happening. Is something going to happen? And it's more of a drama film, which isn't bad. You know, we love Mike Flanagan and all his drama ghost stories, but I don't know. It never really scared me. It did make me anxious at times because I kept thinking something's going to happen. Something's going to happen with this creature, or someone's going to do something to the creature. And I even read a little review where I was like, oh, yeah, I can agree with their feelings on the film and the creature itself. I was just left feeling a little empty at the end, I guess.
Underwhelmed.
Yeah, a little underwhelmed. Emotionally, it's like, yeah, I got some things. I mean, the acting is great. You know, I mean, I think even the effects, the visual effects look believable, but it was just too quiet of a story for me, maybe.
Now, you went with me to see The Lodge, right?
I did, yes.
Okay, so in comparison, did you feel The Lodge was more fast-paced or more entertaining, or do you think that they're sort of on the same boat?
No, I would say The Lodge was more gripping.
Gotcha.
Because it's like, what is happening? You know, it's like, we didn't necessarily know
everything.
That she was being driven crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say no. The Lodge, there was at least something where I was like, what's happening? There's always constantly some little weird thing happening. Versus this story, it's more bookmarked or bookended, you know? So, I don't know. I almost fell asleep 3 times.
Ooh.
And granted, like I said, I work overnight. I got up pretty early. But still, when I'm entertained, when I'm like enthralled with the story, I don't tend to fall asleep. So it was a struggle. It was a struggle. The next day, I went to see Addams Family 2. And I did get a friend to go with me. So that was fun. We had a good time. It was cute, you know? I didn't think I was going to... I know, I keep calling everything cute. But the original movies from when I was a kid, of course, with Angelica Houston and Raul Julia, it's like, those are the movies. Those are it for me. Even like, I think talking to my parents, they're like, oh yeah, those are the movies that are the classics. And they grew up watching the TV show. But I do like these animated movies. I think that they're fun, and it was better than Lamb. I'll say that. I did have one qualm. I don't think it's a big spoiler because they probably do it in the trailer. The first movie and the second movie, in my opinion, seem to focus heavily on Wednesday. That's what, like, the story is always centered around her, which is fine. But I just thought, well, since the first movie was sort of centered around her, maybe
let's
they'll center around a different
else.
Family movie.
Yeah.
But to be fair, the movies that I love, both of those kind of centered around Uncle Fester.
Yeah. I remember the first Addams Family had a B plot with Pugsley because he was so pressured to be into the same things that his dad was, learning how to do a specific like ritual or skill or something, getting
That's
ready
right.
to be prepared to be a man. I can't remember what it was, but he was so pressured and all he yeah. wanted to do was blow things up. And they were like,
right.
be a kid. But yeah, so there was like that little thing. But yes, these movies definitely favor Wednesday for sure.
And they do have a somewhat of a B plot with Pugsley again.
Oh, they do? Okay.
yeah, they do. But it's definitely, it's very,
but they go on vacation because of what Wednesday was doing at school or something like that. So yes,
yeah.
It is centered around her.
Yeah.
I may see that one day. The first one I thought was okay. I love that they have a second one. If these kids love it, keep putting them out, because it just gets them more enthralled and not be so damn sensitive over little ass monsters. Like, get these kids embedded into a little bit of fantasy before they go crazy and can't even watch fucking Casper because it scares them. Like, this shit pisses me off. But
Casper,
trust me, there are those out there that will not watch that. I mean, it's due to family just being like, no, it's too devilish. But teach their own. At the end of the day, I just don't want no sensitive kids out there who can't look at Casper the friendly ghost and have nightmares. I ain't got time for that. So.
Oh my God. Random story, but you made me think about my mom. I was talking to her the other day and she had some feelings about my niece, who was 13, watching slasher films, because my sister was watching the Fear Street trilogy with her. And I was like, ooh, yes, I approve. Have fun. And I'm on the phone with my mom, and she's like, oh, I'm just, you know, she's like, I don't really enjoy those movies anymore. I liked them when I was younger, but I just like movies with happy endings and blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, the third movie kind of has a happy ending, Mom. But I didn't tell her that. I'm not going to pressure her to watch it. It is violent. And I get it. But she was like, I just don't feel comfortable with, you know, Zoe watching it. And I was like, well, she's 13, Mom. I was 11 when I watched Scream. She's like, what? Like, Mom, you took me to the movie theater to see Scream. And she's like, what? We took you to the theater? And I said, yes. What are you talking about? That was like a great memory for me. That was the first time I actually enjoyed a horror movie. Oh, and she's like, well, we made you look away at all the scary parts. I said, no, you didn't. We were at a movie theater. No. She's like, oh, what kind of terrible parent am I? I was like, you're not a terrible parent. I was like, you always made me look away when people were having sex, which is actually supposed to be a natural part of life. But whenever the carnage came on, you didn't say nothing. You didn't tell me to look away when people were being stabbed to death.
So. That's amazing. So as I alluded earlier, I did see a horror film over the week. Just before it premiered, I went to a Thursday showing of Halloween Kills. All of last week, I told Nate, just wanted to make sure he was going. If he wasn't, he did not go. So I got myself a ticket and I went by myself. And I gotta say, spoiler free, I found it a little odd. First of all, I got something that I wasn't expecting, and this has nothing to do with the previous Halloween 2 sequel that we got back in the 80s. And it's just where the story was going. Granted, it was in the same night. This turned more into a Carnage sort of like zombie-ish film. The one that he made where there was like tons of violence, which is fantastic. I did not mind that. The kills were fucking brutal. They were in your face. They were disgusting. I don't know how the human body survives certain things. I mean, we might as well be walking corpses, because until the heart and the brain is fucked with, everything else is open season and you will still be alive after it all. It's the weirdest thing. No. But man, we got lots and lots of backstory from the original. There are things and secrets that we just were not privy to from the original, and they decided to tie it all in. So there were a lot of great callbacks. A lot of callback cameos were in here. I mean, they brought back a lot of people, even from the 2018. If you just saw them in the corner of your eye, they're involved in the night and they're involved in this movie, and they become a little bit more of a character in this one. So I thought the continuity was fantastic. The writing turned out to be a very heavy allegory movie. A huge message was being thrown into this one, and I haven't really figured out exactly what that message is. If it is as simple as what I think it is, I don't get it. But does that take away from the entertainment? No. What I had a huge problem with was there were a lot of characters doing the dumbest decisions and moves in a very long time, because I've seen a lot of great, smart horror films where people are actually doing the right thing and they still provide a way to get them in the act or catch them or whatever. But it's not because some person decided to go investigate a noise. Like, I'm over that shit. And there was a lot of, like, quote unquote, checking out the noise type of moves, and it was getting really annoying. But overall, I think this movie was really good. I prefer the first one because I was scared the most in the first one. This one did not scare me as much. This was just overly violent. And I definitely recommend it. I think the story opens up a little bit more about who Michael is, even though they hint at something, but they're not quite giving us what we want. So maybe they're just saving it all for that third one. But this is definitely that middle. You know how when you go to like Taco Bell?
Okay.
And you ask for a, you know, crispy or a soft taco. Halloween 2018 is The Shell. And I have a feeling that Halloween Ends will be the cheese and the lettuce. And okay. Halloween Kills is that little strip of meat that you get. And that's it.
Okay.
That's what I got from Halloween Kills. It's just this middle ground that is just setting up the third one and continuing from that heavy first one. A lot goes down. It was just a little odd for me. The score, fantastic. Wonderful music. I love the music. There was even a call into, oh, that's what I watched. They did a call back to Halloween 3 because all the masks were involved. I saw Halloween 3 for the first time.
For the first time.
Huh? Yes, I finally watched that goddamned commercial song. I just want to strangle it. It was all through that movie. It was weird. Yeah. I did not expect. Really, Stonehenge? Really? What the fuck? Anyways, I saw it. It's done. The doctor guy, he was a pimp though. Oh my God, he was a straight up porn star. He was a porn. Have you seen part 3?
Yeah, I've seen part 3.
Oh my God, he is such a porn star. They just made it clear he was some heartthrob, some daddy. Like they really amped up the sexual vibes with this man. It was so funny. But I definitely recommend it, and I am definitely going to watch it again on Peacock, maybe two more times if I have to. I really want to be enthralled and embedded into what it is that they were trying to say. The first time around, it wasn't clear. And I expected a different type of sequel, but Mike Myers, man, there's something going on that they're not telling us. And I just wonder how they're going to explain everything, because in this movie, it's heavy. It's heavy.
Well,
but yeah, I thought it was fun, but it also made me sort of interested in a lot of like thematic stuff around the movie and the franchise. And I came across this YouTube video. I don't know exactly how old it is, but Jamie Lee Curtis is doing some kind of like Q&A at some expo or convention or whatnot. And a person asks, how do you feel about H2O and Resurrection? And we've heard a couple of things in the past, you and I, and we've talked about it. And we made this last declaration. The last thing that we heard was, oh, Jamie Lee did H2O for the money. She didn't give a shit about the story. She just needed a paycheck. And there you have it. Well, this interview says a lot different. And I sent it to Nate immediately. And I was like, you've got to watch this, because this gives me so much more respect for this woman. And it explains a whole lot of what we got in H2O and Resurrection. So from memory, Nate, tell me what you remember with her thoughts on H2O. And I'll fill in the blanks.
So, I mean, you know, her contacting them and being like, hey, this could be really special. We could all do this together. We're all still kicking around, you know.
20 years later, nobody's never done this before. Let's like, wow, all of these people are still alive.
It's like, yeah, this is a great idea. And, you know, her wanting to be like, yes, we're finally going to kill him. Let's do this. And they're like, yeah, let's do this. We'll absolutely kill him. It's crazy to me that they fucking lied to her.
Like, I mean, for lack of a better word, they fucking lied to her. Well, or they
to
just
her face.
They were omission. They just kept it away. That what they lied really to her face, to do.
And then they typed it out and said something different. You know, and it's like you think like, oh, you trust these people. It's like, so now you know, no matter what you do, even if you're working with people and you think you're cool, you better read that fucking contract, because they will try to screw you. So I was pretty shocked that she was sort of the one who came up with the initial idea. And she was like, yes, I want to face down the monster and finally kill him. And it'll be this big epic moment. And then they're about to shoot and they're like, oh no, we're going to like keep this the same old bullshit that we do every time. And I really admire her, like going to them and be like, no, This is the third goddamn rewrite. Why is he still alive? Basically, I want to kill him. Like, he's supposed to be dead. And they're like, and I just can't believe that they did that. And I think, you know, like, listening to her, it's like she's just frustrated at the end. She's like, okay, fine. Yeah. In the next movie, you got to kill me because I don't want to. If you're not going to give me what I want now, it's like, well, after this, you need to kill me. You need to kill my character because this has gone on far enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I know she didn't say that, but she was just like, fine. You know, it's like the only natural thing after this is, you know, if you refused, I can't believe they put that in the contract. You cannot kill him. I can't believe they put that in the contract.
So apparently Mustafa Akkad, he is sort of ownership of this character, Mike Myers. And in the contract, he stipulated you are not to kill Mike Myers. It should always be ambiguous. On screen, you are never to officially take him out, ever. And she didn't know this. And throughout her pitch for this movie, her involvement, the storyline, she had all of this in her head planned out with the idea. Had she had known about this contract, I don't think we would have ever gotten an H2O.
No.
Because she did not want to do this again with an ambiguous ending. The headmistress idea was hers. Her being drugged out on pain pills was hers. She wanted a kid. She wanted to had to be like what we got in 2018. This is why she came back 40 years later, because everything she wanted to do in H2O, they got to do in this one, which is why I have more of a respect from her, because at the beginning, she wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And so H2O was supposed to give that to her, but she wanted to show on screen what an event like this can do to a person's psyche and develop all that trauma. And that's what H2O was. And so they tried to give her all of that, except, you know, they couldn't kill him. So she goes through all the drama or whatever, and then they end up changing writers. And then Kevin Williamson gets a hold of it, and them two have a discussion. And Kevin's like, okay, look, you're going to get what you want. You are going to kill Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, oh, really? We're going to kill him. And he just kind of shakes his head or whatever. It's so ambiguous. And she was like, so we're and here's the other thing. What you got in H2O with the head chopped off, that was her idea. The head needed to come off in order to make it official, right? And that's what he said. Kevin Williams was like, you are going to cut off the head of this
mask. The guy in the mask.
The guy in the mask. That's what she said. The man in the mask is going to get his head chopped off. And she was confused as fuck. She was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yes, we're going to come off. So we're cutting off Michael Myers. She goes, you were going to get that guy. And so he kept hinting. And so the reason we got the man instead of Mike Myers was because to fulfill, are you going to be satisfied that Laurie Strode took the head of the man of the mask? Will that make you happy? And she goes, yes, without really knowing exactly what's really going on. So then, like you said, Nate, if you're going to make another one, you are to kill me immediately. And I'm going to be in a mental institution. I thought that was a horrible idea. That was her idea. I thought that was some cheap ass cop out way to get rid of her in the first 5 minutes. She did this. She wanted this. Yeah. So I can't help but not hate on that. Right. But she was in a mental institution because she felt so bad. She took the life of a father.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. I think that's admirable. And I guess that makes her say, and she knows that because he's out there that he's going to come for her at some point. So I have a little bit more of an understanding where H2O and Resurrection comes in, and it's more than just a cash grab for her. I thought she was like desperate for money and just needed some cash. Right. But it's more than that. And I'm glad that we got the real deal.
Yeah. And I didn't think it was like, oh, she's just about the money. No, because I think she has much, much respect for the character of Laurie Strode and Halloween. You know, I think that's how she got her big break. So I think she wanted it to be something bigger and better. But I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they were so shiesty. So I get it. And I mean, the interview, if you haven't ever seen this, people, like, it's pretty
funny.
We'll
put the link. We'll put the link in the production notes of the episode. So definitely look out for it. And yeah, I love how she answers it. She's like, here's the thing. Like, let me just break it down. Because a lot of people still don't know what's going on. Let me just break it down for you. So great, great interview. Nate, it is time for you to answer our trivia question.
Oh, God. Okay.
What was Army of Darkness from 1992 originally going to be titled?
Evil Dead 3?
Is that your final?
I mean, yeah, that's the best I can muster at this point in my life. Yeah.
Have you seen Army of Darkness?
I have, yeah.
Okay. So this title will make a lot of sense to you once I say it, and I had no idea about this either. It was going to be called The Medieval Dead. See what they did there? Okay. The Medieval Dead. Yes.
Got it.
So kudos to anyone who got that right. And as far as online, I don't think anybody saw the post. It's the weekend. Everybody's out and about. They ain't looking at our page. So, but
whatever.
Look out for another question to come to you during recording day, and we'll post online to see if anybody knows the answer. But yeah, The Medieval Dead. Would you have preferred that over Army of Darkness?
I don't think I'm invested in the title either way, especially when the movie came out, I didn't know it was part of a series. I had no idea. I just thought it was Army of Darkness. I don't know. I was a kid. Stupid kid. Let's wrap this mother up. It's my little hairspray nod.
Nice.
And we're here all day, folks. Well, we're only here for a few more minutes, actually. We're going to do... bitch, really? This comes from the film Sorority Row 2009.
Yes!
I decided, you know, I'd only watched it one time in my life, and I actually really enjoyed it the first time I watched it. So let me revisit it. And I still enjoyed it. You know, it's a fun film about a bunch of really terrible sorority girls. Yeah. So... movie opens basically with this prank where these girls make this boy think that he has roofied his girlfriend and killed her. And they drag her out to the middle of nowhere. And this joke goes on for a very long time. He's freaking out. He's crying. They're talking about chopping up the body, and they all start wandering around looking for rocks or something to cut her into pieces. They leave him alone. And he takes the tire iron and jams it into the girl's chest, and she's still alive. Bitch, really? Like, I'm sorry. I know you're all dumb, drunk children, but you left this man alone. Like, one of you should have been, like, consoling him. I don't know. It always bothered me. And I know this is the whole plot of the movie. Like, if this moment doesn't happen, we don't have a movie. I know. But they all just wander away from him. Give him access to a sharp object. I don't know.
So
I don't
remind
know.
Remind me again why he chose to stab her.
Because one of the bitches was talking about, oh, we're going to have to, like, should we just dump her body or should we cut her into pieces? Yeah, we should cut her into pieces. That'll be easier to...
So they were trying to cover it up, and that was his way of helping?
That was his way of helping.
Oh yeah. My god.
But I don't know. Like, especially, and one of the characters is his sister. So you don't know your brother well enough that you I don't know. It just really drives me crazy that they leave him alone. And even the good girl, the main character who, like, she keeps trying to be like, okay, this has gone on long enough, but it's like, y'all left him alone. And that's why we get the movie and most of you die, okay?
Man, between this and, like, Jawbreaker, like, when did pranks start to become this realistic? Like, calm the fuck down. Use a whoopee cushion every once in a while. Like, this is just insane.
Let's get back to the classics. Yeah, like, I mean, hit me with what are those little hand buzzers, you know? Like, it's not cute, but that's better than being like, oh my god, someone's dead and we're gonna go dump their body. Look, you took it real far. Like, say they're like, oh, they're dead, and then I scared you, I got you good, huh? It's like, this, it's just too much. It's too much. And again, I was never part of the Greek lifestyle, so I don't know what goes on there, but I sure do remember being on my college campus seeing all those boarded up houses. I was like, well, because y'all do too much. Y'all do too much at these fucking parties and hazings and just stupid. Stupid.
So say what you will about Sorority Row, by the way. I think the majority of horror fans do appreciate this movie, but I will say this. This movie has one of the most unique slasher weapons I have ever seen in cinematic history. Some people think it's a little over the top, but I think it's just right. I have never seen something this creative since the Freddy Fingers. I love this weapon a lot.
Yeah. Now, I do love this movie. I mean, yes, I am complaining a lot about the plot device that gets everything going, but I do love this movie. I do appreciate it. I think I enjoy most of the girls. I even enjoy the one who's like a crazy control freak. You know, I like all of their personalities, and I do love that weapon. Yes, like even one of the characters is like, oh, it's the tire iron, but it's like modified, it's tricked out, and it's like, it's so funny that they, and yet, I mean, granted, it's like the killer, it's like once you find out who it is, it's like, why is he so good at like throwing the tire iron, and like when was he like practicing like killing people with this? Like, he is so good. But yeah, no, I dig it, I really do. And we get Princess Leia in the movie, so that's, you know, that's pretty cool. On top of that, you know why, kids? Because everybody does horror. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us. Time for me to crawl back into my coffin because I need a nap. But thanks, Rob. This was a lot of fun. And
definitely.
We only have like a week and a half until Halloween. So get your candy and your costumes ready, kids, and stay safe out there.
Yeah, this Sunday's Halloween. We hope that you all have a great one. Be safe. Enjoy it for what it is. And maybe next year we'll have a more, you know, celebrated, normal Halloween like we have in the past. But until then, yeah. Stay spooky.